If you're like me, you're looking around at things right now and you're bewildered, you're angry, you're exhausted, you're utterly shocked, you're bordering on numb, and you just wish if these better days that we keep hearing about are coming, then please, let's just get on with it. And no, I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan. No, that's not what I'm talking about. To say the last 2 years have been rough is a little like saying this winter has been a little chilly. I think the better way to describe them is they've been something short of impossible. None of us in our adult lives have ever lived through a global pandemic. Not like this. We would hear about it, that something like this was inevitable. But clearly, it's one of those things you can't understand unless you're in the thick of things. Take a minute. Take a minute to think about how insidious this has been. How it's affected your life, your job, your family, your friends. How you interact with everyone. And how different things would be right now if that little bug had never gotten out of wherever it came from. If you're like me, you've been thinking about that a lot lately. I've also been thinking a lot about Harvey Milk. Now, I doubt a lot of you have been thinking about him, but I have. I've been thinking a lot about how much this country, this whole planet, could use a guy like Harvey right now. If you don't know, Harvey was the first openly gay American to be elected to public office. He became a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1978, and I have no doubt that he would have held higher offices had he not been assassinated by a former colleague on that board. Harvey's story is for a different show on a different day, but part of his legacy is as important right now as it has ever been. He gave a speech when he was running that has come to be known as the Hope Speech. He talked about the loneliness and despair he felt when he came out as a gay man and how he had nowhere to turn. And he said for everyone else who came out after him, he wanted to help. He wanted them to have hope. You gotta have hope, he used to say. Here's the thing about hope. Sometimes you must cling to it like a life preserver. The world will do everything it can to yank it away. Other parts of your mind will do the same thing. But hope is vital. You have to look for it and grab it in any form possible. Maybe that's in the idea that all things must pass and so this too shall pass. Or maybe it's in the idea that we can adapt to a new way of life. Or maybe it's just something as simple as there's a new episode of This Is Us that will be on in a few hours. And for that time, nothing else will matter. You gotta have hope. Tonight, we're going to try to offer a little hope. Under no circumstances do I think this silly little show will change the world or somebody's life or the way we all see each other. This show tonight is about me doing what I can to find some hope and hopefully share that with you. I look for hope in music and in my friends, so tonight we have an abundance of both. I have effectively convened a panel of hope featuring my dear partner and a couple of special guests. We're going to talk about perseverance and determination and compassion and strength and all the other things, and hopefully we'll conjure up a little hope. My name is Rich Larson. Her name is Christy Purcell. His name is Dr. Matt Hillman. And that guy? That guy's name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is the Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You are listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for what I'm just going to go ahead and call a very special edition of The Weekly List. We've never had this many people
in the studio. No, we haven't.
At one point in time. We actually had, there's four of us in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a minute to introduce our special guests. Contestant number one, you are the executive director of Clean River Partners here in Northfield. Formerly, do we have to say formerly the Caddo River Watershed Partnership?
It often helps.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's. You are the executive director of Clean River Partners that looks after the Caddo River Watershed.
That's right.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
And Christy Purcell.
Hello.
You are also a recently announced candidate for the Minnesota State House of Representatives.
Indeed.
Yeah. District 20B, we think, right?
We'll find out in a couple
weeks.
We'll
figure it out after all the redistricting.
No stress involved in that at all.
Well, you know, it's all about redistricting. And contestant number two, you, Monty Hall. No, you're not Monty Hall. You are the superintendent of schools of the Northfield School District. Dr. Matt Hillman, thank you for joining
Yay.
Us, sir.
It's my pleasure.
I've been hanging onto this line now for 3 weeks.
Oh, God.
Matt, you are the adult in the room tonight.
Yeah.
And with no offense meant to you,
none
Christy,
taken.
At all. But the thing is that at least half of us are older than you are. So, but
yeah.
Yeah, you
and Matt, I would be the guy that gets called into your office. I mean, it's going to go well beyond just the principal. They're going to march me
Daniel,
straight in.
We would have built a relationship with you far. You would have come into the office for good things far before anything.
You think so, huh? We'll see how the show goes,
different.
Right?
You very, very certainly would have known Daniel by name.
Long, we know everyone
ago,
by name,
right? Well,
and it's a good thing.
He would have been brought to your attention before most other people.
Yeah.
And you're not a guest.
I'm here.
Hi. All right.
Yeah.
So why do we have all these people in the room with us tonight? Well, look. About 3 weeks ago, and we're going to talk a little bit about this because it's the next song I'm going to play too. I was listening to this song, it's one of those things where, you know, you're going to get in the shower and you got your music going. Song comes on and I do my best thinking in the shower. I just like this song came on and just opened the floodgates for me. Like in 5 minutes I had this whole show. I said, you know, COVID is getting everybody down. We were supposed to be through this by now, mm-hmm. but we're not. And it's getting worse again. 3 weeks ago, it was getting worse. Evidently, we're like hitting the peak this week, but that only means we're halfway through this surge. And so everyone's exhausted. Everyone's tired. Everyone's frustrated. I am looking at this going, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. So I have my best friend here. God bless him. Right? Well, that's not even funny. I lean on you, actually.
Well, I know. And you're bigger than me, which kind of hurts.
I know. You're a very strong man for a boy your size. But I'm going to go out. I'm going to find two of the most optimistic people I know. and I'm going to find two of the smartest people I know to sit with Dan. And I'm going to
supervise me.
And more importantly, I'm going to find people who have been, at least in Northfield, who have been civic leaders through this whole thing. And we are very fortunate to have the two of you decide you wanted to join us tonight. So thank you both very much for being here. All three of you are here basically to babysit my well-being tonight. All right.
So, we got you, Rich.
We got it.
I know you do. It is tough right now.
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's you think about, you know, and I mean everything. I'm not just talking about the pandemic. You think about everything this country, this state has been through in the last 2 years. We have been up and down one of the worst hotspots for COVID. We are also the epicenter for one of the biggest social rights explosions, for lack of a better word. That's not a great word. Social rights movements,
yeah.
Extension of the social rights movement that has happened, frankly, in my lifetime. We've been through the ringer the last couple of years, and they're just... We thought for a while that this thing was coming to an end. What that turned out to be was a little bit of a tease intermission kind of a thing. There's just not an end in sight. Now we're talking about we're going to live with this forever. And we're talking about we're all going to get it. And you know what? I'm not interested in that at all. So and that's why I come back to Harvey Milk, who is a personal hero of mine. You have to find ways to find hope. You have to. And that, folks, is why the three of you are sitting in this room with me tonight, because you are people I trust, people I respect, people I think have a lot to say. And I'm hoping that this conversation will help me find some hope. And by extension, some of the people who are listening tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the other piece on all of this kind of stuff, I suffer from seasonal affective disorder. We're at a latitude that's such that it seems like it's dark all the time. I don't do well with that. I was born in Southern California. I live for the sun. And so having it dark all the time. And then we're also in the middle of that 10-14 days that happens every single year where everything is cold. When the high for the day is a negative number, that's not good. And it seems like it goes on forever. The positive thing that I'm going to take out of that is that once you get past that 10-14 days of extreme cold, it never gets that cold again, at least not for that long of a time. So I'm feeling like we're at the end of that. So the timing of this is good. But yeah, so this is not just for you, Rich. I'm going to try to get something out of this too, because I need it. I think everybody does,
right? We all do.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so... So Rich, what was the first song that we opened with? I mean, we're now 13 minutes in. We should probably, in case anybody doesn't know it, and I'm wearing the t-shirt.
Yeah, I know you are. Well, you go ahead and tell. It's your song, dude.
Okay.
You tell us.
We opened with Tom Petty, not Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. This is actually right. Tom Petty from his first solo album, Full Moon Fever. And that song is called
1989.
Yes. And that song is called I Won't Back Down.
Yes.
And it's a cliche, I know.
I gave you a hard time.
Yeah, you did.
I gave you a hard time about most of the songs.
And I also, it's a hit. And Rich,
which is far out of your wheelhouse.
I know, man. It is. So I gave a big hit because when I think about perseverance, and I mean, it's kind of like a Scottish attitude where you just, you plow right through it. and so Tom Petty always comes to my mind. It's something that I like to hear when I'm feeling down and out, you know, and pushing through.
Right.
So,
well, okay. So, and you know, it's a fine song. It's a great video.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great video.
With Ringo, and I think George Harrison's on it in the video.
I think
too.
So.
Yeah,
I think so.
But anyway, but the song we're going to get into here, this is the song that when I invited you guys on, I said, this is the song I want to build the whole show around. This is a song called Mercy by the Dave Matthews Band. Matt, I don't know if you're much of a Dave Matthews fan at all, but...
My musical knowledge generally stops in 1994, excuse me.
We're not that far apart, because I stopped listening to new music in 1996, most new music. I kept up with Dave Matthews, but Christy, I know that you're kind of a Dave Matthews fan, though.
High school and college, yeah. I was a big Dave Matthews fan.
Yeah.
And I had, I think my mom, or maybe my friend, high school friend Allison's mom, drive us to a Dave Matthews Band concert at the Target Center because we didn't have driver's licenses. Oh,
that's adorable.
Yes. So went to many shows in my high school and college days, but then kind of haven't kept up. So when you mentioned the song to me, I was intrigued to check back in with to see how Dave was doing and what the band was up to.
Yeah, this is from an album called Away from the World that was pretty recent.
2012.
Yeah, I think. Really recent. By the way, thank you for playing this because I've been a member of the Dave Matthews Warehouse for like 22 years. Wow. And it wasn't until I started listening to this set yesterday that I went, oh, crud, my membership expires on January 31st. So I renewed it immediately.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, because seriously, I got 22 years of seniority with them.
You and I have been.
We've been to Alpine like a bazillion.
Well, we've been to a couple of dozen Dave Matthews shows together, and like we were just talking the other day, how badly we both need.
Yeah,
a Dave Matthews show.
So I got my membership renewed, so right. I've still got priority.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, so okay. Alpine.
Thank you. Anyway, the whole the song is exactly what I'm talking about. Stuff just stacks up in front of you. How are we going to get through this? What, you know, my favorite, what will become of us, right? Well, you know, one step at a time. One, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And
seriously, how do you eat an elephant?
You've never heard that?
No, I haven't.
You've never heard that before?
No. Okay. I'm not from this world.
I just, this song for me has always been, well, as long as I've known it, the 9 years, 9, 10 years almost, I've known this song. We saw him perform this song, actually, I think.
Maybe before it was released. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I've always just really loved this song for what it stands for. So we're going to play Mercy by the Dave Matthews Band, and you're listening to 95.1 KYMN, the one.
Don't give up, I know you can see all the world and the mess that we're making. Can't give up and hope God will intercede. Come on back, imagine that we could get it together. Stand up for where we need to be. 'Cause crying won't save or feed a hungry child. Can't lay down and wait for a miracle to change things. So lift up your eyes, lift up your heart, singing mercy, will we overcome this? Oh, one by one, could we turn it around? Maybe carry on just a little bit longer. And I try to give you what you need. Me and you and you and you, I just wanna be free, yeah, yeah. But you see, all the world is just as we've made it. And until we got a new world, I got to say that love is not a whisper or a weakness. No, love is strong. We got to get together, yeah. Gotta get. So there is no reason to fight. Mercy, will we overcome this? Yeah, one by one, could we turn it around? Maybe carry on just a little bit longer. And I'll try to give what you need. Yeah. Oh, mercy, will we overcome this? Oh, have we come too far to turn it around? Stronger, 'cause I wanna give
turn it around. Maybe carry on just a little bit longer, and I'll try to give you what you need. What have I done yet again? Have I not learned anything? I don't want to live in chaos. It's like a ride that I want to get off. It's hard to hold on to who I am when I'm stumbling in the dark for a hand. I am so tired of battling with myself with no chance to eat. Oh. Let time be patient.
Still strong, let pain be great. Sometimes loneliness is the only rest we get.
This higher,
and the emptiness actually lets us forget.
This higher, this higher.
Sometimes forgiveness is easiest than secret.
Okay, I'm just going to real quick just go around the room. Dr. Hillman, do you have an opinion on Adele?
You know, I'm not really familiar with a ton of her work, but I really, she's got a very powerful voice, and I know that she means a lot to a lot of people. She really has inspired, you know, quite a few people, especially with her latest album.
Yeah, and she has.
You've got to really appreciate anyone who can inspire people these days.
Right. I love Adele. Christy, that was your pick.
That was my pick. It's the powerful female vocalist. Yeah. I'm a sucker.
Well, it's hard not to be.
And a song that starts out one way, like just the haunting, just solo voice.
Yeah.
And then by the end, there's a whole bunch of people who have joined her sort of chanting just this like, just hold on, just hold on, just hold on. So
right.
I thought that kind of struck the tone of the show. It feels like we're all just alone singing in our own echo chamber. If only we could all sing like Adele. And then in the end, there's there's a lot of us feeling that same way.
She this album that she put together, this is really, this new album is 30. This is from her new album. One of the big things about this album, this is for her son. This whole album is how am I going to help you through this world? Well, what do I know how to do? I know how to sing. I know how to make music. So here's the beginning of a blueprint or a road. So now all three of us are going to turn our gaze to you, Danny.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Adele, my brother?
Watch it.
I liked the 19 album with the Chasing Pavements tune.
Don't qualify your opinions. Just.
Rich, you always accuse me of loving and liking everything, and I don't. I thought that the bass part was really good on that song.
You know, that's the thing. Like,
she's got a lovely voice.
You
she
choose
does.
To like all of this crap, yeah. But you don't like Adele.
It's a night. I like the sentiment of the song. I like the sentiment of the song.
I'm going to back off because I want to keep this show positive.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, hey. So I was respectful, I do like the first two albums of hers.
The other song on this album
that
I've just been listening to a ton is the Easy on Me song. And she talked about how that song was written to herself. Rich, how you were talking about this show was about, you know, kind of you yourself needing a little pick-me-up.
Right.
And so I did think about that song as well. And that's just also, I think, a very powerful song.
I think one of the things that this album, from what I understand, is all about her divorce. Mm-hmm. And I think I went through that about coming up on 2 years ago, and so that makes a lot of this
early
kind of
on
stuff
in the pandemic.
Yeah, early on. That was a special
trend.
I did it right
at
the beginning. But you know, so that kind of stuff is it hits a little too, you know, right now for me.
Sure. Yeah.
Still. You know, and there's a lot of friends of ours that are going through difficulties.
I
mean, I even told my therapist, it was like, you know, the people that are going to be guaranteed busyness for the remainder of like the next 5 years, it's going to be therapists and divorce attorneys.
Yeah.
You know, and I got divorced early on. Right. Early on.
Before it was cool.
Right.
Before it was cool, yeah. You know? It was not by choice, but, you know, this stuff happens. Yeah. It does. And there's a lot of people, there's a reassessment of everything. And everybody's at a crossroads. And, you know, I think Adele has got a great way of how she's choosing to address that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. It's the best way she knows how.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing what she's good at.
Sort of in keeping... Michael Franti in Spearhead. Michael Franti... I don't listen to enough Michael Franti because he's one of those guys. Every time I hear one of his songs, I'm like, "Oh man, that's so good! Michael Franti's got to be one of the most positive and optimistic people in all of music.
100%. 100%.
I will say I hadn't heard this song before, and I'm familiar with Spearhead and all that kind of stuff. I love their records because they sound like summer to me.
Exactly. This it's song, like California summer. Yeah.
Right.
I hadn't heard this song before. I love this song. This is a great, great song.
It's a really
good song. I'm redeemed in Dan's eyes.
No. I mean, this was a great song, and I mean, it was just fun.
You were never in any trouble.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Danny needs to redeem himself.
I'll hear about it.
I didn't quite catch what year this was.
It was fairly recent. I think
fairly recent. This is the album I think after the one that had Sound of Sunshine. I think. Anyway.
Yeah. So that one was kind of a big hit.
Yeah.
And then he went a little more commercial with sort of songs like this that would be like big radio plays.
Right.
So I actually. Did not know Michael Franti and Spearhead from Adam. I went to a music festival on Oahu when I lived in Honolulu.
Wow.
It must have been 2004 or 5. Jack Johnson started the Kokua Festival, and it was a fundraiser for... when I moved to Hawaii in 2003, they had no recycling. And they just would take all their trash into a boat and go out in the ocean and dump it.
Oh.
And so... Jack Johnson and some other, I think Jackson Brown was there. And then Michael Franti and Spearhead was there. And I went to this this concert, this festival alone. But it was like, I'm going to this. And Michael Franti came out on stage barefoot. He had like, I don't know if one of his children had any clothes on at all. But it was just like very, you know, like very island feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he was like, hold hands of somebody next to you that you don't know and tell them you love them. And I was sort of like, oh, I'm this like Minnesota girl.
Totally against all of the rules.
Very uncomfortable. Very touch of the person. Like, so, but the music was just made everyone want to do that anyway. And so after the first ever Kokua Festival, then I was like, who is the Spearhead person?
Right, right.
And so I've been a fan. And always, does give you that summer vibe, picks you up. And so that's where
you have just reinforced one of the great beliefs. I don't remember hearing about Michael Franti coming to Minnesota ever. I know he must have.
I think actually his parents live here, his adoptive parents.
You gotta be kidding me. Really?
Because like when he does shows here, he's always like, my mom's here. And she's like half his height.
That's
she's
hilarious.
Like a little Norwegian.
That's great. But I absolutely believe just from listening to this man's music, he's got to be a phenomenal performer. He just, it just
so
has
much
to
fun.
Be. Right?
So much fun.
You know, it's actually, the album is actually The Sound of Sunshine. Oh, is where this song is from.
Okay.
Yeah, so
right. What year was that?
You had to ask me that. I'll tell you in a second here. The year was 2010.
Okay.
2010.
So from...
Everybody prepare to smile, because I guarantee you, you will, I don't care how down or sour you're going to be, you will be smiling by the end of this song.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Christy. From 2010, this is the ebullient Michael Franti and Spearhead, his band Spearhead, with Hey, Hey, Hey on AM 1080, 95.1 KYMN. The Ooks.
It's been a long time coming that I had to say. When I wake up in the morning, all I do is pray for some guidance and protection on the streets today, and an answer to the questions I ask every day. So tell me, why did the birds that used to fly here, tell me, why do they come to die here, and all the kids that used to run here, tell me, why did they load their guns here? I remember in the days when we were one heart, no need to deepen. I just wrap my arms around you. Don't give up, this song is for you. Hey, 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 no matter how life is today, there's just one thing that I got to say. I won't let another moment slip away. I said, hey, 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 no matter how life is today, there's just one thing that I got to say. I won't let another moment slip away. I hold on, I'm trying to hold on. Between the Wall Street banks and the empty homes, between the lines of the people standing all in a row, there's a crack in the gutter where a flower grows. Reminding me that everything is possible. Yeah, reminding me that nothing is impossible. You gotta live for the one that you love, you know. You gotta love for the life that you live, you know. Singing hey, 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 no matter how life is today, there's just one thing that I got to say. I won't let another moment slip away. Nobody ever tell you that it couldn't be done. Don't let nobody ever tell you that we couldn't be one. Don't let nobody ever tell you that it shouldn't be sung. Don't let nobody ever tell you you're the only one. Singing hey, 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 no matter how life is today, there's just one thing that I got to say. I won't let another moment slip away. I say hey, 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 no matter how life is today, there's just one thing that I got to say. I won't let another moment slip away. Cause I'm missing you. I'm
still alright to smile. Girl, I think about you every day now. Was a time when I wasn't sure, but you set my mind at ease. There is no doubt you're in my heart now. Said, woman, take it slow, it'll work itself out fine. All we need is just a little patience. Said, sugar, make it slow, and we'll come together fine. All we need is just a little patience. Cause I'd rather be alone. If I can't have you right now, I'll wait, dear. Sometimes I get so tense, but I can't speed up the time. But you know, love, there's one more thing to consider. Woman, take it slow, things will be just fine. You and I'll just use a little patience. Said, sugar, take the time, cause the lights are shining bright. You and I've got what it takes to make it. Won't fake it. Oh, I'll never break it. Cause I can't take it.
Bringing me back to the month I spent with you, Daniel G. Moyer, in London. January of 1989, wandering the streets at night with nothing to do but smoke Dunhills and listen to whatever music I had.
And just trying to get it right.
That was Guns N' Roses with Patience. And surprisingly enough, that was not a selection made by Daniel G. Moyer. That was our superintendent of schools picking Guns N' Roses right there, folks.
There you go.
Well, you can't be a child of the 80s and not love Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's
and
true.
It's such, it is really, I think everybody has a ballad of the pandemic, most likely.
Mm. Yeah.
And for me, this is what it's been, right? Okay. Because, you know, you are working with people and you're in public service. We are trying to help people, right? We're trying to help them achieve their dreams. We're trying to help prepare every kid for lifelong success. We're trying to help parents and community members. Yeah. And this has been incredibly hard on everybody. I mean, it's the understatement and the cliche of the whole piece, but I think so much of life depends on predictability,
right?
We talked about knowing about the breakfast in the morning when we're doing the mic checks, and you know, what are those routines that you do every day? And it's the little things.
Yeah,
it's the things that when society can break down is when we lose the little things, the things, the everyday things. And I think that that is what's challenged people so much. And I just every morning I pray for patience, because I know I'm going to see people in public service, we're going to see people at their best. And if they trust us, which people do, sometimes they don't know they trust us, but they do trust us. We're going to see them at their worst. And what I have tried to share with, you know, all of the people that we have in our school district is we just need to keep showing patience, and we just need to keep having patience, because it is not, I really feel that very few people, when you hear about people acting poorly or really struggling, I don't think it's intentional. I think it's the circumstances. The great resignation, all of these things that are for not, it isn't, there's not much more that people can do, because it isn't other people's fault. It's the circumstance. And when you're in a circumstance like this, I think the best thing to do is to have some patience, right? And try to have patience.
Could not agree with you more. And I think that my daughter works in the service industry. She is a manager at a giant drugstore chain. Anyhow, whenever this place is within walking distance of our house, and she's 21, and we play a little bit of gallows humor on the way out, because she works from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock, and she's there responsible for closing. And so I know that she's dealing with some tough customers, and it's not always friendly and things like that. And one of the things that the two of us do, because we're kind of dark, is going saying, "Hey, honey, just remember, don't kill anybody today." So I know that you're going to
always
feel
good
like
advice.
That.
Always good advice. Yes.
Don't kill anybody. If you do, give me a call. I'll pick you up. I'll get you to the airport so that you can skedaddle out of the country, and I'll deny anything. But you know, I'll cover for you for at least a little bit. And it's enough of a darkness, but she gets that, and it helps her activate some of her patience on this. And right now, one of the things that I just want to say, that for everybody out there, we're all frustrated. We go to the grocery store and they're out of things, whatever it is. The shelves are, there's supply chain issues. Don't take it out on the cashiers. Mm-hmm. Don't take it out on the people that are working there. They're struggling too, because coworkers are quitting, mm-hmm. part of the great resignation. So that means more work for them. One of the really nice things to do every once in a while when you're in a grocery store, buy one of those fun size bag of Snickers or whatever and give it to the cashier as you're checking out and saying, mm-hmm. hey, open this up and stick it in the employee break room for me. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing this job, because it's thankless. And just a simple thing like that, that's where you take your patience and you bring hope to other people. And it makes a giant difference for like $5 or whatever it costs.
And I think that early in the pandemic, when we rallied, mm-hmm. right, when people were rallying, you saw that happen.
You did.
All the time.
You
right?
did.
People leaving stuff for the UPS driver or the FedEx driver, the U.S. Postal Service. I mean, there was that typical societal, we can beat this thing together.
Yes.
But, you know, we look at things as in a metaphor of a lot of sports events, right? So you think, we just got to get to the fourth quarter. Well, we got to the fourth quarter, and it turned out that it's going to be quintuplet overtime game, probably. And so people have lost. I think that we just lost that initial rallying cry. And the end of that song is, I think it's one of the classic all-time endings of any song. We talked before about, you know, opening, beginning, and Patience is pretty consistent through the entire song. But just that methodical piece at the end with what I think is one of the most beautiful guitar pieces of all rock and roll history, with that soft repeating of Patience in the background, and and Axl Rose, who just it's one of the most beautiful pieces of voice that he did of his career, and it is just it is therapeutic. When you think about that, and you think about going into a day about how can I have patience, because people are relying on us to help get through this. And it takes time to recharge, and music can do that. And things like the weekly list do that for people. I'm not joking, because I think it's sharing that love of music and something that can truly help us escape from the moment. And whether it be an emotional connection to how old you were, I was 18 when this song, 17 or 18 when this song, recapturing some of those moments and having that connection to where were you at in life at that time. Those are things that can recharge us, because it gives us that broader viewpoint to have patience that this too will pass. Yep. We just don't know when, but it will.
And Matt, one of the great ironies of all of this is the song is Patience, and it's being sung by Axl Rose,
who is famously one of the most impatient people in history.
Yes, I mean, this is a guy that, I think it was St. Louis, that because they didn't go on stage and all that kind of stuff, there was riots that happened. Axl Rose is notoriously a tough guy, and I can't see him ever having patience, you know, true patience. But the point that I get out of the song is, if he could do this song, if Axl Rose could do this, and it brought about exactly the sentiments that you talked about, then it's possible for any person.
He is notoriously difficult to deal with, but he will demand patience from everyone else around him too. He is like about as cliched a rock star as you're going to find. But man, I could not agree with you more. The end of that song is, I think, one of the great vocal performances of the 80s, of that 80s metal genre. And there's no question. I mean, to me, Guns N' Roses, if you're talking about that like 80s metal thing, right? Guns N' Roses stands head and shoulders above everybody else, including Motley Crue, including Iron Maiden.
They really were attempting for mainstream, and they were successful at it.
I would say that Motley Crue was trying to have some mainstream success too.
I guess the difference, I always thought of Guns N' Roses as more of like a real hard rock. It's like AC/DC. Yeah, I wouldn't call AC/DC metal.
You're right. And you're right. I would go with that too. But they got lumped in with all the other hair metal bands. Yeah, and it didn't help that Axl had his hair teased out, like, you know. And see, that's the thing. To me, the difference is between a Motley Crue and you've got a songwriting team in Axl Rose and Slash that are.
And Izzy Stradlin.
Anyway, okay. We don't need to get into this tonight.
I just derailed the weekly list.
But I'm really glad that, Matt, I'm really glad you picked that, because because of my issues with Axl, I forget about that song and how much that song meant to me when I was 19 years old, too.
Well, and so. I think that's another metaphor right there, Rich, is that, you know, sometimes we're working with people who are difficult, but they deserve patience as well.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people misuse the thought of patience of letting people off the hook, but it isn't. It's about having patience and showing grace so that people can come back, that they can have a comeback, and that they can do so in a way where they don't feel judged.
This is why I asked you on, Matt. Right there.
Je m'appelle Daniel. Remember patience. Je m'appelle Daniel.
Oh, let's stay with the 80s. Christy, how old were you in 1986? Can I ask you that question? Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. I was 5 years old.
You were 5 years old, so you're probably a little young to remember this one. Peter Gabriel in 1986 was the man.
He was.
Right? I mean, he was.
Absolutely.
There was nobody cooler.
No.
Than Peter Gabriel. And this is from his album, So, mm-hmm. which was.
I had this album. I had the CD.
Are you kidding?
Nice.
Oh, I listened.
You were a cool little five-year-old.
Well, not when I was five, but when I was okay. in high school, you know. Then
did you
like,
get it from the Time Life Music?
The oldie
subscription. Oh,
no, whatever that other subscription.
Oh. The Columbia House. You got Columbia House. Columbia House.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
See, there we are.
We love Columbia House around here.
But the
we all built libraries yes. out of Columbia House.
The I think it's was Sledgehammer on that.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I was a little. I was born too late, but. I always say better late than never because I'm tardy to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I like a lot of music that predates me because mm-hmm. it's still good.
I have the same problem.
Peter Gabriel is timeless.
Yeah. And the way that album starts, it starts with Red Rain, then Sledgehammer, and then Don't Give Up with Kate Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the first three tracks on that album.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the album. I had a cassette because back then I had the cassette mm-hmm, Walkman. Mm-hmm. I had Peter Gabriel's So on one side and I had Toto's Fahrenheit on the other side.
Wow.
I taped. And I spent my entire, I think, probably my sophomore year.
Is Fahrenheit the album with I'll Be Over You on it?
Because
I remember that was 86.
Yes. Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. With Luke Luther singing and.
A cassette of its time for sure.
Cassette. I taped it off of CD and put well, it. I just wanted to have both albums.
You had a tape. You had a cassette Walkman.
Yeah.
So it was a cassette of yes. its time.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Anyway.
And one of the great innovators, Peter Gabriel. I mean, I think that Peter Gabriel revolutionized music video and really using some of the first CGI kinds of things as part of that Sledgehammer video is
that
one of
motion.
The formative of all time.
Well, and he was one of those guys that brought world music into the top. Yeah,
absolutely.
40.
People at MTV saw the video for Sledgehammer the first time and hit their knees thanking God.
Yes.
For, oh my, this has been pushed forward again now. This is great. Peter Gabriel, though, like going way back to his time with Genesis in the late 60s and early 70s was so far out ahead of everybody else when it came to theatrics in rock and roll and challenging your audience by coming out wearing a dress and a fox head mask. And, you know, Peter Gabriel is a brilliant human being.
Yeah. And I will say, I was fortunate enough. I got to study abroad my junior year of St. Olaf and I went to Australia for a semester and the movie, the Rabbit Proof Fence, movie. He did the entire soundtrack for that and bringing in Aboriginal Native Australian artists and music and this really incredible story about similar to how the Native Americans in North America were taken from their families and put in boarding schools that happened to the Native folks in Australia. And there was a little girl who followed this fence because rabbits were brought from England and they were decimating everywhere. They put up a fence and this girl walked the entirety of the fence to get back home. And that little girl was an adult when this movie came out in 2002. And they showed a screening of it in her village. And she shook her head and she said they told the wrong story because apparently they took her back again after she made it home. They took her back again and she walked back to find her daughter or something. It was like wild, thousands of miles. And Peter Gabriel heard this story and he did the entire music. And I bought that soundtrack on CD as well. Listened to that my entire my Discman that I had for my study abroad.
Cool.
Hey, I had the original iPod, so I think we've got it all covered
here.
You got
it.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
So always innovating, I think, his whole entire career.
This was one of my picks. And the reason I picked it is first of all, I love the song. I absolutely love the song. And it was written, I think, in memory or tribute of Anne Sexton.
Is that right? I guess I don't remember that.
And I believe if memory serves correctly, I believe that she killed herself.
She did.
And so this was kind of a, you know, boy, you know, wanted to try to reach you.
Right.
And the vocal performance, the soulfulness of Peter Gabriel's voice, especially at the bridge on this, and then mixed with the purity of Kate Bush, who is one of my favorite female voices. I could just completely absorb Kate Bush, you know, and how sumptuous her vocal sound on this. And this is an inspired set of vocal works from both of these artists. And so this, it's an important song.
So from 1986 and the So album, this is Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush with Don't Give Up on 95.1 KYMN, The One. from The Greatest Showman. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name right. That was Kiala Settle and the cast of the movie without Hugh Jackman. That was This Is Me. So here's my story about that song. Yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday. I was looking at the music that you all sent me and trying to fill in some cracks and thought, you know what, we need one more really upbeat song, preferably sung by a woman. And when you need highly, highly optimistic, super emotional songs, where do you go?
Musical theater.
Broadway, baby.
That's right. Right.
And so I called my pal, Leif, who is one of our old college friends.
We've known each other.
Yeah, she is. She's a one of us, that's for sure. And I said, this is what I need. And she said, okay, This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. It's not an actual Broadway show, but it may as well be.
Yeah.
And she was right. I like that song so much that I had not seen the movie. I actually watched the movie last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I was just talking about during the break when you were out. I saw that movie for the first time when I was in Denver.
Okay.
You know, once, and I flipped out.
I had avoided that movie like the plague because P.T. Barnum is the main character. And I'm a refugee from the sales industry, and I hated sales every day of my life. And P.T. Barnum is the world's greatest salesman ever. And so I just, nah. But no, this movie is phenomenal. It's fantastic, especially if you're just looking for something to give you a shot in the arm. And
it's a feel-good movie.
It is, indeed.
You gotta raise a glass to a song like that.
Yeah, you do. I love that.
Triumphant.
Indeed. Yes. Indeed.
And the thing about it that I liked so much about it musically is it's got these great blocked chords that are very emotive. But they're kind of setting this up and setting up a certain level of tension. And then all of a sudden, boom, it explodes.
So, thanks, Leif.
Time now for the Weekly List Haiku Corner. Brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
Just can't get enough of Wendy. She's great. All right, here we go. Haiku Rich. They call me Haiku Rich.
They do.
Yeah. Please, give me your hand. Let me help. Let me be there. Yes, I used Purell.
Snap.
Wow.
Snap.
That was snappy.
This one's a little bit... This one's going to date me. You're going to appreciate this one.
Okay.
Danny, you'll like it. Things will be different, but we can adapt to this. Like Zoom or Hagar.
Oh, you didn't.
I did. I did. I adapted to Hagar. I don't know. I'm not sure if you ever did or not, but okay. That was a Van
Sammy.
Halen.
It
was
I got it. I got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I got it.
I did not adapt.
We get the wrong.
Time marches on, Matt. I don't know what to tell you. Yep. You know, yeah. All right. Tune out the haters. Don't listen to Ted Nugent. That's detrimental.
Yes.
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Imminent.
Have I ever told you that Wendy's closing of the Haiku Corner is a haiku?
I've heard that on other shows.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of that.
Rich is very proud of the whole haiku concept.
I am. Yes. I am.
You earned those snaps.
It's the one original thing I brought to this show that I haven't stolen from somewhere else. We are now going to take a moment, and only a moment, usually because they only pay for like 2 minutes, but we usually give them about
give them like an hour.
12. We're going to thank Laura and Derek Myers for being amazing people.
They get snaps.
They get snaps.
Northfield's living room.
And for sponsoring the weekly list and making the weekly list possible every week. And now, neither of you, Christy nor Matt, are endorsing Imminent Brewing over another establishment in town. We can't have you do that.
No.
But I know both of you, as having worked at Imminent for as long as it's been open, I know both of you to have frequented Imminent from time to time. Christy,
Matt's been very responsible, and you're drinking orange juice when you're there.
Actually, right? Matt comes in and takes his beer to go and goes home and drinks it incredibly responsibly.
Yes. I think I've seen Matt. I just want to make sure that that's very much stressed.
Matt, I think I've seen you sitting at a table at Imminent all of twice. I mean, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, Christy, I'm going to ask you to say one nice thing about Imminent Brewing.
Well, when the show airs, Laura and Derek will be dog sitting my 2-year-old golden doodle, Ginger. And I know she's in great hands. She gets to hang out with Neon and two of my favorite humans and neighbors. So I'm a little bit biased because I think those human beings are really wonderful. I also really love their beer. And here's a secret. Gateway Cream Ale is gluten reduced. And they don't advertise that because people think, oh, a gluten reduced beer, it's going to be gross. It's going to be weird. So those of us who have to just pay attention to how much gluten, that's the go-to. No problem at all. It's delicious. It's always on tap. So that's my #gateway forever.
Thank you for that. I can speak to that situation, and we're going to do that in a future show.
Great.
Cool.
That's cool.
Matt.
You know, Derek and Laura are just outstanding members of the community. There's so many great things you could say about Imminent Brewing, about the attitude that they bring to their business, about how they really are about connecting people in a respectful and responsible way. The way that we reused a facility that was used for something very different, and the vision that they had to bring this sense of community to Northfield. And just, I think they just have loyalty to the people who they serve. And, you know, it's a craft brewer, you know that, but the craftsmanship and the care that they put into their product is just truly amazing. So there was a reason they were the business of the year from the Chamber of Commerce a couple of years back. And rookie of the year and MVP, I think, in basically the same year.
Fred Lynn, exactly right. They pulled
good
off.
Good Fred Lynn. Yeah, I like that. Well done.
Center fielder for the Boston Red Sox, 1975. Yeah. You talk about the craftsman. I mean, it's been that way from the word go, too. I mean, they really, even before they opened, they
pay attention to the details, right? Yes, the customer experience is sensational. Mm-hmm. Whether you're looking at their website to see what's available, how they very clearly articulate what they expect for behavior in their establishment,
very much appreciated,
and just the way that people are treated, it really is a community treasure.
As someone who works there, the rules for humans thing, the code of conduct. Laura and I actually did a show
based around that. I listened to that show.
Yeah, and with a special guest Neon, their dog came too. I really appreciate having that absolutely defined, and I am, you know, in an establishment that is really known for being so welcoming and inclusive. I'm the grumpy guy standing behind the bar.
I don't believe that for one minute.
No, I totally do.
I can get a little crabby standing behind the bar, and it's because my knees are. I'm 52 and my knees are 79. But working for these people is a privilege. Working at that place is a privilege. And by the way, and Danny, you can speak to this too. Yes. They have great beer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they do. I've been able to sample a number of their products, and it's just a wonderful place. And I love the idea of a summer evening there, and when they've got the food trucks out.
The patio.
I mean, so it's difficult for me to sit here in the cold and darkness of the Minnesota winter, but I'm thinking about a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon when I can go there and sit there, and it's 8:30 at night, and it's still bright out and sitting and having one of their fine brews.
Yeah, you're sitting on the patio and the garage doors are open and John Manners is playing his amazing unique music. And
can't beat it.
That's a good night. So I'm holding out for that. You want to talk about patience and hope. That's what I'm keeping now in my mind. So thank you, Imminent Brewing. For...
And those days bring this sense of joy to downtown Northfield, right? Absolutely. Just on that. And,
don't,
you
they,
know, it just,
don't they, though?
It just, oh. It's...
Yeah. Now I can't wait for that.
I often I ride my bike to pick up my my inventory, I suppose. And
it's
it is
not
just,
a lot, folks.
Restock.
It's, you know, it's just one of the great things when you pull up on your bike and you see all of those people who are just being.
Well,
they're just there to be. And I think that that's something connected to the show. I think those are the things that we miss, the ability to just be when you want to be.
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
That's a good way to
put it. You know, it's such a, we're going to get back to that point, too, because that's something. All right, so what's on tap right now? Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA, Gateway Cream Ale, Canna River Pale Ale, Tangerine Dragon Squirrel, Prairie Creek Porter, Low Rider Lenny Stout. We are not good at naming beers at Imminent Brewing. This might be the best name we've ever come up with.
I think the Kernza beer had the best name, I will.
Which was that?
Say.
Well, remember. Oh, I don't remember.
Kernza Clearwater Revival.
Kernza Clearwater, that's right. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
There's a little musical reference. Yeah, that was a good one, too.
And using a renewable resource.
A perennial wheatgrass into the beer.
Yeah. The Morning Zoom Stout. Brave Noise Pale Ale. There's a whole thing about Brave Noise Pale Ale. I'll be there on Saturday. Come and ask me about Brave Noise. Buzzin' Like Neon Belgian Golden Strong Ale.
What?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
She got her own beer.
Neon got her own beer.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and it's a Belgian Golden Strong Ale. It's not the only Norwegian or Nordic strong ale in the world. But, and I'm sure there's other Belgian strong ales, but none of them are named after a dog.
Right.
Right? All right.
I got to try that.
Double Agent J IPA, La Tropicale Sour Ale, Zombie Palm Sour Ale, Rumination Brown Ale, which is my personal favorite right now, Holland Hall Belgian Blonde Ale. Christy, what did you major in at St. Olaf?
English.
So you didn't spend as much time at Holland Hall as I did.
One class in Holland Hall with Judy Katulis, who I get to do pottery with sometimes at the Northfield Arts Guild.
Oh, that's cool.
A women's history class. But I should have spent more time. I should have taken more classes.
You should have.
I know.
You know, Holland Hall was pretty interesting. The thing that I remember, and I can't remember which floor it was in, but there was one of the floors back in our days that had a men's bathroom that had a urinal that was the biggest urinal that I've ever seen. Do you remember that? It was like a marble giant.
And it was a privilege to pee in it.
Yeah, I mean, you can go and shower in that. I wouldn't recommend that, remember, you know, if there's any Olaf students out there, I need to go in there and just check and see if it's still there.
Well, I think Holland Hall is also one of the most beautiful renovation jobs on the campus.
Couldn't agree. Couldn't agree with you more.
It keeps the character, but truly a modern learning environment. We went as a school district to go look at it to see how do you take those really beautiful old buildings and turn them into modern learning spaces. It's art. It's so well done.
I haven't seen what they did with Holland 501, which was the big amphitheater style classroom. And I probably learned more in that room than any other room in the world in Holland 501. So I do need to check out. Because I was a poli sci guy, I spent almost all of my career in Holland Hall. Anyway, we've got a Belgian blonde ale named after that.
And it inspired a really nice beer.
Yes, and we also have seltzer. Yeah, okay.
You know, you really don't dig on the seltzer.
I'm seltzer.
Next time I go to Imminent, I'm going to drink a seltzer in
well,
the summer.
Don't ask me to make
You're
it for
drink
you.
Drink a seltzer out of spite for
yes,
Rich.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well,
I'm
gonna
sit, I'm
wouldn't
ask,
be the first
I'm
time.
I'm going to request it from Rich. So everybody out there, this whenever you're at Imminent next, go and request a seltzer from the big surly guy behind the bar. Tell him Danny sent you.
Speechless.
I'm getting hate eyes. I literally, this is hate eyes. Oof. You see that?
We better play it. We better play some music.
I'm going to hide behind you guys, okay? I'm not looking at him. Dead air is great for radio, Rich. Dead air.
I'm going to turn your microphone off.
Yeah, you probably should.
A couple of food trucks. Cafe Sean is doing her pizza night tomorrow night. And the Brick Oven Pizza Bus will be there on Sunday. I'll be there on Saturday. I don't know what the heck I'm going to eat on Saturday. That's when I'm going to be there. And, we talk about COVID with Imminent all the time and all the stuff that's going on. But, I mean, that's the whole point of this show. So we're not going to have to get too much into that. Thank you, Imminent Brewing.
Thank you.
You know what I like? You know what I like a lot?
What?
I do like the old school New York hip hop.
Yeah.
I have a friend who went to St. John's University and evidently was at St. John's at the same time as, no? Well, was there shortly after Daryl McDaniels and Run of Run DMC?
Well, and actually, I went back and looked, and it was Daryl McDaniels enrolled at St. John's and was there for a short time, probably about a decade before I was there.
Oh, was that long?
Yep, I suppose. Yep. And so, and it, of course, then, you know, the trio from Hollis, Queens, Joseph Simmons and Jason Meisel and Daryl McDaniels became Run DMC and, of course, changed the world.
Yes, they did.
And yes, they did. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, well-deserved. And really, again, a soundtrack of my youth as well. And just, you know, the especially the song we picked here, Hard Times, you know, one of their early songs, really before, of course, it was their combination with Aerosmith that really put them on the map across the entire country. People knew of them. If you're from the East Coast, you knew of Run DMC before then.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Hard Times is prior to Walk This Way.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's from their debut album. Yeah. I mean, the self-titled debut album.
I have an idea for a book. If I ever actually get around to writing it, we'll see. But I've got this idea for, and I've identified the most impactful moments in rock history. Right? I want to write this book. Nine people will read it. I want to write it for those nine people. One of those moments, though, is Run DMC and Aerosmith. I mean, the ripples, we are still feeling the ripples from that.
That was 86, summer of 86, was it?
Yeah.
I was working at a radio station.
If nothing else, MTV wasn't playing hip-hop until...
And just the video at the breaking of the wall.
Right, like the metaphorical breaking of the wall. Exactly.
Same time, it not only was a pro for Run DMC, but it resurrected Aerosmith. Because we mentioned Joe Perry was not involved in Night in the Ruts. But he came back and reunited with Steven Tyler and did that video and did that song.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was, you don't have Aerosmith now, if that, and you don't have Run DMC, really. And Matt, this was your pick, and I thought, wow, good on you, mate.
I want to say that Hard Times is the first song on the first Run DMC album.
Yeah, it very well could be. And I think that when you go back to that genre, especially in the early 1980s, it was really some of the first real lifting up of social justice, you know, urban social justice stories that became accessible to people outside.
Right.
You know, it broke an echo chamber, right, and helped people make some connections that they wouldn't have made otherwise. And and so there's a lot of meaningful social justice commentary, especially with some of that early East Coast hip hop work. And Run DMC, of course, were the ones that made it, but there are so many other great artists. You know, in terms of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and you know, you get through all of those pieces, and it's really meaning. You know, it's really meaningful. It's really meaningful commentary that I think it really helped change the nation in a very good way.
Absolutely,
and of course, you know, having that connection to Queens, where I lived for 5 years, and that St. John's connection, which people who listen know, I'm a very proud St. John's alumni. Not that one up in Collegeville, right? The one in Queens, New York City. And so, and I think that as I was thinking about this, again, just so prophetic that they were. And there's some lines in the song that I think are just so meaningful. You know, hard times are coming to your town, so stay alert. Don't let them get you down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later in the song, you know, talking about making sure that hard times is nothing new on me. I'm going to use my strong mentality. And I think that we have to just, during times like this, you have to dig deep and you have to use the formative experiences that you've had to be able to try to get through those tough times. And the song is Hard Times. And if you've not heard it, it's a classic.
Yeah. Here we go. Old school Run DMC. This is Hard Times from 1983. Really? Okay, from 1983. Hard Times, Run DMC on 95.1 KYMN The One.
homeboy. Don't let it catch you.
Prices go up.
Don't let your pocket go down.
When you
got short money, you're stuck on the ground.
Turn around.
Get ready.
Keep your eye on the clock.
And be on point for the future. Shop. Hard time.
And wash
from their debut album in 2009. That was Florence Welch, Florence and the Machine, off the Lungs album. That was Dog Days Are Over.
Powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Powerhouse. The drums, the vocals, the white space, the blank noise. Right, yep. Before the drums come back in, yep. It gives me goosebumps.
Both my daughters were teenagers in the heyday of Florence and the Machine. So my house was saturated with Florence and the Machine for quite some
lucky
time.
Lucky man.
I did not mind it at all. Yeah. I really liked it. Yeah.
This album, I've got this album, and I've got, one of the other ones is really quite good. Fantastic, and I love how it builds that tension.
Yes.
Before the drums and stuff comes in, and just you have drums that work that way, and it kind of breaks the song open.
100%.
There's like a glass broken on the on a table.
You want to talk about building hope, right? The day we can like stand up and scream, "The dog days are over," for and like know it and feel it and the whole thing. It's going to be a good day.
You know, and some of this, I think, is just trying to accept the situation that is all around, you know? And I don't think that there's going to be a time where, okay, well, it's over. We're just going to have to accept where, you know, I don't believe that the word unprecedented should ever be used again, because the precedence is now here. This is it.
We've precedented quite a bit in the last 2 years.
Quite a bit. I mean, we're now in the beginnings of the third year, so... But I think that that attitude, the dog days are over, and what you're talking about, I think that that attitude is something that we can all carry and persevere despite that.
And what are we talking about here? We're not saying it's done, the pandemic's over.
Right.
We're just saying the worst of it behind us.
The thing that I like is one of the last times I was in Scotland, I went to William Wallace's grave.
Freedom!
Well, yeah, and on his grave is the words, "MacGregor despite them." And I think that is great. So that he's naming his clan, he goes, "I am this, despite what anybody of my opponents would say. I'm that resolute and how I'm going to be." And I think that that's kind of one of the themes of this song.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So there I'm Lord Moyer, despite you.
I'm like a third Scottish. Yeah, so, anyway. Betty White passed away on New Year's Eve, and it was
99 years old.
She was 99 and like 350
days shy.
She was like 2 weeks, 17 days. Yeah. So what is that? 348 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leaving a void, right, for beloved, wonderful human, right, who we can just sort of all look to and just think, "Oh, you're so great. We love you." I would like to nominate in her place Dolly Parton.
Oh. Second.
Okay.
I second that.
Right?
We're all in favor.
I mean, she's well on her way. She doesn't need my nomination. I mean, Dolly is beloved across the country, across political lines, philosophical lines. If you don't like Dolly, you're probably a little broken inside.
Yeah.
And you know what? Dolly can help you with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah. You know? And there's so many great songs from a songwriter point of view. Huh. I remember as a kid hearing Jolene and Coat of Many Colors and all of these and just being flabbergasted by the amazing depths of songwriting and her observational sense in doing that. And This song is one that I hadn't heard before, so tell me about it, Rich.
This is a song that I had not heard until maybe a month ago, and this song's a solid year old. She wrote this song in the thick of the pandemic. It's not on an album. It's just a song she wrote to maybe help us all feel a little bit better. I mean, that's just what she did. I don't know that it was any sort of a huge hit, but go look up this is a song called "When Life Is Good Again." There's a sweet little video that goes along with it, and it's just I don't know what else to say about it except that it.
We love you, Dolly.
We love you, Dolly.
She also did a really good Hallmark Christmas movie that I watched this past
year. Is that right?
Yeah, I spent part of Christmas watching
Hallmark movies.
Yeah, they were great.
I don't doubt this about you.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Dolly Parton one was right. really fun.
But yet you're punk rock.
Yeah, I am. I like Dolly Parton, though.
Oh, of course.
She's punk rock in her own way, too.
Yes, she is.
Hallmark,
Thank
though.
You.
I'm talking about Hallmark. Hallmark's not so punk rock.
No, but some of those movies are really
interesting. I know. Did you cry?
I'm not going to answer that.
This is When Life Is Good Again by Dolly Parton on 95.1 KYMN.
When life is good again, I'll be a better friend, a bigger person when life is good again. More thoughtful than I've been, I'll be so different then, more in the moment when life is good again. I'll open up my heart and let the whole world in. I'll try to make amends when life is good again. We've been brought to our knees, we've been so ill at ease, there are but you know life goes on. This too shall pass away, bring new and different days. We need to change our ways and right our wrongs. Let's open up our hearts and let the whole world in. Let's try. There's no one left to
tell your troubles to. Just an hour ago, you listened to their voices, lilting like a river over underground. And the light from downstairs, it came up soft like daybreak, dimly as the heartache of a lonely child. And if you can't remember a better time, you can have mine, little one. In days to come, when your heart feels undone, may you always find an open hand and take comfort wherever you can, you can, you can. And oh, it's a strange place. And oh, everyone with a different face. But just like you thought when you stopped here to linger, we're only as separate as your little fingers. So cry, why not? We all do. Then turn to one you love and smile a smile that lights up all the room. And follow your dreams in through every outdoor. It seems that's what we're here for. And when you can't remember a better time, you can have mine, little one. In days to come, when your heart feels undone, may you always find an open hand and take comfort. There is comfort. Take comfort wherever you can, you can, you can. Ooh.
Well, there's the whole message of the show in less than 2 minutes right mm-hmm. there. You know, in days to come, when your heart feels undone, may you always find an open hand. There's comfort. Take comfort. And, you know, that's something you and I have talked about before when we end the show and we've gotten into you and I.
Yeah.
I'm pointing to Dan.
Yeah, he's pointing to me. This is, again, not a visual medium.
Not at all. But I spent so...
I mean, really, it's an audio thing.
I spend so much time on the radio that I don't even know. When we've talked about mental health issues, there is help everywhere.
Yeah.
There is help everywhere. And if you ask for it, you're going to get whatever help you need. And I frankly... without getting too deep into it, I am a product of that. And days like eras like this, we all need some help. And ask for it. Find it. The resources are everywhere. Ask for it. And, you know, conversely, when somebody comes to you and says, I'm not doing well. I'm not doing well at all.
Yeah, take a moment.
You know what? Listen.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to help that person, Google it.
Yeah. Very simple. When you talked to me about this concept and I listened to the song Mercy, the song that we just played is called Comfort, and it's by a singer-songwriter named Deb Talon. And it's from a solo album for hers called A Bird Flies Out. And this was my choice. This was the only song that came to mind from the concept of mercy. And Deb Talon is part of a folk duo called the Weepies. Mm. And she's a brilliant singer-songwriter. She's got a very unusual voice. It's a unique voice. And the other person in the Weepies is another gifted singer-songwriter named Steve Tannen. And they formed around, I think it was the Boston area, where they just became friends and they found that their voices worked really well in a harmony sense. And they put out a couple great albums. And then around the time of their third album, they actually got married. And I've been very fortunate to have seen the Weepies play a number of times. And it is such a good feeling when those two voices go together. But this song from Deb Talon's album that's a special song. And I mean, while we were playing it just now, I showed you my arms and I have a physical reaction to music that really hits me. And I get goosebumps and the hair literally stands up on my arms. And
I could see it from here.
Yeah. And so it's a physical reaction. I know that song cold. I've heard that song probably 1,000 times and it's helped me a lot. And so the fact that I can hear it for the 1,000th time and still have the exact same visceral and physical reaction says something. So I really hope that song gives a little bit of comfort to anybody out there. And that's why I'm going to say again, Deb Talon, the album is called A Bird Flies Out. So Google it, find it, listen to it. I hope that helped you, and I hope that meant something for people listening there if they've never heard that song.
I'd never heard that song.
I had never heard that song. I was weeping, like the Weepies.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for this. Yeah. I mean.
It reminds me of when Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings seem like the way their voices,
yeah,
and the harmony, just the uniqueness.
The blend.
Yeah, and just a very simple tune, melody, words, but just really powerful. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. That's just a great song.
And it's what great art is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. It should.
It affects you in a profound way.
It should. It should move you.
It is why it can be comforting, mm-hmm. right? I mean, great art stirs the soul.
Yeah.
And it can heal the soul. It can reinforce the soul. But great art is a treasure. And we are fortunate to be together tonight to share a lot of this great art. And
we are.
I go back to what Rich said at the beginning of this, is that I think sometimes in our society we prioritize toughness mm-hmm. over vulnerability. And for people who are listening, you know, if you're struggling, reach out, right? One of the songs that almost made the show is The Four Tops, reach out and I'll be there. But right here in Rice County, simply go to the Rice County Public Health website. They have all sorts of resources. Look to your employer.
Yep.
Most employers, part of their insurance program, has an employee assistance program that gives you free, the first free few visits for free, and take advantage of those things because they're there for you.
Yes.
And there's no shame in needing help.
We are fortunate. The four of us the three of us. Danny's an outsider, but but I feel like at this point
he's a part-time Northfielder.
You're an honorary Rice Countyan at this point.
Yeah, you know.
We are fortunate to live in a county that has some really good social services and some social servants who are really committed to their cause. And you know, I'm not just going to say that you know, other counties don't have that, but I just feel very fortunate.
Well, I'm sure the Weekly List is an internationally listened to program.
We're very popular in Germany.
we were the number 160th podcast in Germany, and we're big in Düsseldorf.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Well, and the point is, regardless of what county you live in, or I'm not even sure what the governance structure is at that level in Europe, but the fact is that there are resources for you.
Yeah.
Yes,
and you just have to have the courage, right, to step forward and say, it's okay, I need some help.
And it can take a lot of strength to summon that courage.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, making that phone call, you don't want to make it, and you make it, and there's somebody on the other end, and you open your mouth, and you have no idea what to say. Yeah. None.
Yeah.
The great thing is that the person on the end of that the other end of that phone understands that, and they've heard that before, and they're going to be patient with you, and they're going to work with you, and they're going to help you sort of, I can remember this woman on the other end going, you know what? You just have a lot on your plate right now.
Oh, yeah, it's very
simple. Just to hear those words, man. I mean, I get choked up thinking about it. It
just... Matt, I want to reiterate something that you said, because I think it's very, very important. You had basically said, you know, we live in this culture where the toughness is that's the thing, you know, this Rambo, you know, we can, and that's not it. I think your concept of real strength is showing your vulnerability and showing that, hey, my heart bleeds, and that's a brave thing. And I'll give you, that's so much tougher than any of the Rambo notions. And it's okay to cry. It really is. And there's some times where I have certain reactions, and I'm not ashamed of it. And maybe that's something that I used to way in the past, and I embrace that. And I think that is a toughness. And I think it's important what you said. And I think that's why I'm saying it again, because it is important for everybody out there to feel okay with that.
Well, and there's that stereotype of Minnesotans,
yep.
Right? That is,
don't get me going.
It's not my problem. You know, we see someone right. who we know is struggling, and you know, out of this sense of a perceived or almost mythical culture,
right?
We say not my business,
right?
And I think that we need to get into that piece that. You can help people without prying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
And that is what we need to do for our friends and neighbors.
Yeah.
Is we need to look out for our friends and neighbors. And sometimes it is just saying, what can I do for you?
Right. Exactly. I had a great teacher in high school, Larry Stotts. I'm going to call him out. Larry Stotts. He was my humanities teacher my junior year in high school. And he told me one time, he said, you know, being a teacher it can be a balancing act, but there are times when you get to do things for people. And he said, when I see a student crying in the hallway, I will stop and I will say, you know, first, are you okay? And I will ask, is this about a boy/girl? And if it is, he says, well, I'm sorry, there's just nothing I can do about that. And you're right. But if it's not, then there's opportunities for that teacher to help. And you don't have to be a teacher.
No.
You know, if there are certain things, yeah, okay, you're right. I'll give you a hug, and that's about the best I can do for you. But if it's something I can help with, I want to do that. And it's an opportunity. I don't know. Feeling good feels good, or giving help feels good. It yeah. does. And
simple words that you say can have a profound effect.
Huge.
And simple. I think the words that are the most important are the ones that are not said. It's the in terms of, it's just simply asking the person, how can I help
yes.
you, and then listening.
Yes.
And then just being, you know, a quality listener, and affirming what people need and what they have. And I think that most people, they just want to be heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's, we have real problems in this country right now. We have real problems across the world right now. Right there is, I think, the essence of what we're talking about. People just want to be heard. And sometimes I'm guilty of this. And this is why part of the reason I wanted to have this conversation tonight. I'm one of those guys that's guilty of not wanting to hear what you have to say, you know, and I at least have identified that, you know, and it's something I really have to work on.
And Rich, I think one of the things that we have in our society, because of this verbal one-upsmanship, that I think social media has done things to connect people in ways that are so positive and beyond what we could have ever even imagined, right? But at the same time, they also have given us this, what I would say is this verbal one-upsmanship. I have to have the last word. I have to. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's just about, so the term that we use is we listen to respond. That's what most people do. I'm listening and I'm waiting till I can get my piece, and just simply shifting that I'm going to, rather than listening to respond, I'm going to listen to understand.
Yes.
And I think that if we all, and person on the microphone right now, first and foremost, rather than trying to formulate your response to people, formulate just by being there and absorbing what they have to say, because that's what most people need. They don't need you to fix their problem. They need someone to just listen to them.
Exactly.
And so I think the world would be a much better place if we shifted from listening to respond to listening to understand.
Listen to understand. Listen to support. That's that, and supporting just by listening, just keeping your mouth shut and nodding and being that comforting shoulder.
You know? And sometimes it's that the question that I think is what's the one thing I can do for you right now?
Right.
You know, people don't need to solve everything. It might be, I need a ride to the store, or I need a ride to the doctor, or I need, you know, those are the kinds of things that I think sometimes we think the assistance that you need to have a PhD in, you know, some social work or something like that to be able to help. And it is about the normal things. Sometimes people just need, they just need a ride. They just need an ear.
I need a glass of water.
A tissue.
Right.
A hug. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
And if there's any place in the world that can support its neighbors, it's right here.
Yeah.
This is a place that cares about people. It is a special place, as much as we joke about that.
Yeah.
But if there's a place that can do that for people, it is here.
I sometimes feel a little provincial, which is I everyone who comes from somewhere thinks that that's the best place in the world, you know. The reason I live in Northfield. Next week will be 20 years since my family and I moved here.
Next week will be 7 for me.
Fantastic. Wow. See, we were both stupid enough to move in February.
Not a good move.
You are Minnesotans. What's the difference?
Come on, man.
But I live in, well, we moved to Northfield. Truth be told, we moved to Northfield because I missed being in this town from when I had been in school, right? Mm-hmm. We moved to Northfield because this is where we wanted to raise the kids. We wanted our kids to go to school. I'm pointing at you, Matt. We wanted our kids to go to school.
That's right.
In Northfield. What this town has given me since I got here is immeasurable. And I you know, there's the line from Field of Dreams, right?
Yeah.
Once a place touches you like that, with the wind never blows so cold again.
Yeah. Right.
That's how I feel about this town. And our fans in Dusseldorf, come on out sometime. You're really more than welcome. This town will embrace you. All you have to do, come to this town and engage a little bit, and this town will pick you up.
Here's the thing. You mentioned that I'm the outsider, and I am. I live in Eden Prairie. Come on. I'm a suburban.
You spend quite a bit of time in Northfield, though.
I do. And
you got married in Northfield.
Yeah, I did. And that was one of the things about this town and one of the reasons why I continue to do the weekly list and come down here every Wednesday, of course, is to hang out with you, Rich,
because
I love you, man.
We are very fortunate that you were willing to do that.
But
too.
This town, I'm so fortunate that I get to come here every week and see this town and be here. And I love coming here. And I am so, this week, the Archer House is going. And for me, that's, I feel like the heart is being torn out for me. And so tonight it's shocking to see that. And, Northfield is an important, special place, and it means a lot, and it will always be very important to me. And I am blessed to be here. And when you and I were first talking about the show, you were saying that you wanted to do this show as a gift to listeners, a gift to Hope. And I can honestly say that being involved in this show tonight, this show has been a gift to me. And so,
here.
You know, Christy, Matt, I hadn't met you before tonight, and I feel profoundly close to you both, and I appreciate doing this show with you tonight. So thank you. God bless you.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, this has been wonderful. And Rich, I know that I'm not going to get a Richard Marx or Britney Spears show, but I love you too, despite that.
You know how I feel about you.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of The Weekly List. I have let this show go on too long, but we've had really great conversation here tonight, and I am... I don't know that it hit the mark that I was hoping it would hit, but this has been great, and this has been, we are so privileged to have you two joining us tonight. And you've been so wonderful, and so full of insight and so full of positivity that I knew you guys would bring, and I'm deeply, Danny and I are both deeply grateful for that.
Thank you.
there's a lot of places you can find the weekly list. We're all over social media. We're all over the web. That's enough of that. We are going to leave you this evening with a rock solid, stone cold classic. Matt?
Yeah.
Well, when you talk about the show, the first song that came to my mind is this, and it's the songs that I picked really, they articulate my life in a lot of ways, and this is an album that my mom had growing up, and you can't do a show like this without picking something from Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, right. And there's so many of their songs that you could use in this, mm-hmm. In this show, but Bridge Over Troubled Water, one of the greatest songs of all time. And I think it really is something that can give us hope. And for people listening, I hope you can be the bridge for someone over their troubled water. And for those of you listening, we hope that this show was that for you this week.
Just as a weird, weird aside and coincidence, I wake up every morning to an email from the, I don't even know which website it is, but it's the Rock and Roll Calendar. And it's always this day in history, right? Mm-hmm. Tonight, as we're recording this, January 26th, today is the 53rd anniversary of the release of both the album and the single of Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Serendipity.
Isn't that something?
Wow. The universe does communicate its message, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it goes from God to Simon and Garfunkel to Matt Hillman to the rest of us.
Something like that.
Wow.
All right, folks. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks for having us.
Christy, thank you so much for being here. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Danny, thank you so much for being here. My panel of hope. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
I've been on panels. It's pretty cool to have been on a panel of hope.
Yeah. Well, oh, and you know what? I want to say one other quick thing. Our superintendent of schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, last week was presented with the Northfield Human Rights Commission's annual humanitarian award.
Fantastic.
Well,
yay.
Thank
you. And I found out about it, and I texted you immediately, and I just said, I'm so proud to live in a town where the superintendent wins humanitarian awards. That's pretty cool.
Great. That's pretty cool. That's a lot right there.
So congratulations to you, my friend.
Thank you.
And thank you for everything you have done. And Christy, thank you for everything that Clean River Partners does. And thank you for everything you will do when you represent us in the State House of Representatives. I can't wait to vote for you. I can't wait to vote for you. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
We'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace. Street when evening falls.
Sail on, silver girl. Sail on.